Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Some viral infections are more fatal in men than in women, which is usually linked to differences in our immune systems. However, mathematical modelling of the different ways some viruses can spread in men and women suggests it may be in the virus's interest to tailor its aggression based on who it's infecting. Vincent Janssen from Royal Holloway University explains.
My colleague Francisco Ubeda posed the question to me, is it thinkable that a virus would do something different between men and women that they reside in? And my initial reaction was, that sounds very far-fetched to me, I don't think so. But then we started looking into it. We found one case where that would make an awful lot of sense, and that one case is if a disease goes over from mother to child, then females have an extra way of transmitting that particular disease. It would make sense for that thing to do something different in males than it would do in females. The overall pattern is that if indeed there is a mother-to-child transmission, that what viruses and bacteria should do is be more gentle and cause less death in females than in males.
If a virus can be passed on from mother to child, known as vertical transmission, then it does make evolutionary sense for the virus to kill the parent, as they could soon be provided with a brand new host. This model shows why males might be impacted more by some viruses, but is there any evidence? The difference between how people are affected by the HTLV-1 virus in Japan and the Caribbean supports this.
We can see from the epidemiological pattern that there is more vertical transmission in Japan than there is in the Caribbean. And on top of that, they have been doing all sort of surveys and studies about how much breastfeeding is going on. Japanese women tend to breastfeed more and for a longer time on average than in the Caribbean. And there's also a long culture of nurturing and doing this, where in the Caribbean, I think that's more of a tradition of weaning children quite early. Having those two populations, one where vertical or mother-to-child transmission is very important, the other one a bit less so, we then looked at the chance of people to develop serious disease if they carry that virus. And the serious disease here is a form of leukemia. In Jamaica, where we think that vertical transmission is not so important, you see that men and women have a roughly equal chance of developing that leukemia. In Japan, though, where vertical transmission is very important, there men have a 2 to 3-fold higher chance to develop leukemia if they carry the virus. And that's completely in line with the sort of model results that we produced.
The viruses seem to behave differently between male and female hosts, but how do they know which sex they're infecting?
I think it's an excellent question how the virus knows. I do not know the answer, but this is the one question I would really like to have an answer to, because if you know that, we would know an awful lot more. The intriguing thing is that some of these viruses, and HTLV is an example, actually very simple things. They carry only 4 or 5 genes, that's about all. So they haven't got a big machinery where they could work on it. It must be something fairly simple where they tap into what's happening in these bodies. But what it is, we really don't know, but we would very much like to know. And once you would know that, you could do an awful lot more. If you would know how these sort of things operate, you could also think about strategies to confuse the virus and sort of, for instance, if it's in a man, make it think it's in a woman so that it starts to act differently.
Differences between mortality rates for infectious diseases in men and women were previously linked to a stronger female immune system response. But these results show we need to consider things from the virus's point of view, as well as the patient's, to fully understand how these diseases work and to effectively treat infections.
Viruses are very simple things, but if you expose them to evolution, if you start selecting these sort of things, then all sorts of weird and wonderful things can happen, and this is one example of it. I would never have expected intuitively this to happen. It's only by looking in detail that you find that indeed, if there is that difference in men and women, it makes sense for a virus to tap into that and have differential strategies for the two. And with our example of HTLV, I think we found some reasonably good evidence that this is indeed happening.
Now, the implications of this are fascinating, but what I really want to know is whether this gives us a scientifically valid excuse for man flu.
No, I don't think it says an awful lot about man flu. Influenza is transmitted within the family, but it doesn't really particularly go more with mother to child than it goes in other ways. It goes to whoever's around you. It's quite possible that men and women probably perceive disease differently, and it's even possible that our bodies react differently to things like influenza, but our researchers, I'm afraid, not provide a scientific or evolutionary justification for spending a day on the sofa watching daytime television for what probably is a very minor illness.
So unfortunately, there's no excuse to stay under the duvet. That work was carried out by Vincent Janssen and Francisco Ubeda and was published in the journal Nature Communications.